NASA and the FAA sign a historic accord on commercial space travel. The NTSB is criticizing Gulfstream over its G650 accident reporting. And the Fly Nano electric prototype has achieved flight. This is Aero News for Tuesday, June 19, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The FAA and NASA have signed a historic agreement to coordinate standards for commercial space travel of government and non-government astronauts to and from low Earth orbit and the International Space Station. The Memorandum of Understanding, signed Monday by the two agencies, establishes policy for operational missions to the space station. Commercial providers will be required to obtain a license from the FAA for public safety. Crew safety and mission assurance will be NASA's responsibility. This approach allows both agencies to incorporate experience and lessons learned as progress is made. In addition, the agreement addresses proper protocols for implementation, financial obligations, liability, free exchange of data and information, and other administrative obligations between the FAA and NASA. Further, the two agencies will collaborate to expand efforts to provide a stable framework for the U.S. space industry, avoid conflicting requirements and multiple sets of standards, and advance both public and crew safety. Among the documents contained in the NTSB's public docket of information, which will be used to determine the probable cause of the April 2, 2011 accident involving a flight test version of the G650, are letters exchanged between NTSB Chairman Deborah A.P. Hersman and Gulfstream President Larry Flynn about the company's role in the accident investigation. The airplane went down during a test flight in Roswell, New Mexico, after the test pilots simulated an engine-out scenario on takeoff. Four Gulfstream employees were fatally injured in the accident. In her letter to Flynn, Chairman Hersman expressed concern about Gulfstream's noncompliance with instructions from the NTSB investigator in charge relating to the quarantine of accident-related telemetry data, about unexplained missing evidence, including a computer hard drive containing accident-related telemetry data and flight test notebooks, about Gulfstream's withholding of relevant information relating to the existence and results of its internal safety audit, and about Gulfstream's delay in providing requested factual information relating to the accident and in making staff available for participation in activities such as interviews and wreckage review, and more. While unable to comment specifically on the investigation, Flynn replied in defense of his company in his own letter to Hersman that said in part, quote, "Gulfstream has responded to each and every request for information from the NTSB as promptly as possible. Gulfstream has proactively provided to the NTSB a substantial amount of additional information that might assist the NTSB. And indeed, NTSB staff has previously called our level of technical cooperation unprecedented," end quote. Flynn stated that the company had requested that some information be redacted from the reports in order to protect trade secrets. A probable cause report is not expected until later this year. The Fly Nano electric prototype airplane made its first flight last week. The single-place open cockpit floatplane concept was unveiled at the Aero 2011 trade fair in Friedrichshafen, Germany. It was envisioned to be primarily powered with an internal combustion engine, but with advances in the development of electric motors and batteries during the past year, the company says the production version of the Sport Flyer will primarily be equipped with electric power plants. On its blog, Fly Nano says the new engine, propeller, controller, and batteries form a package that is substantially stronger than the earlier model. They say that they were unable to get sufficient speed from the reciprocating engine to achieve takeoff speeds during high-speed taxi tests, but that the electric drivetrain overcomes that issue. Fly Nano's goal is to start production this year and to deliver the first 35 planes, already sold in advance, by the end of 2013. The international patent is currently pending to protect the configuration. Like the iPod Nano, the Fly Nano is small indeed. Room for only one person, no passengers, no cargo. But it sure looks like fun to fly. Airbus and Air Canada on Monday made what they billed as North America's first, quote, perfect flight, end quote, over international borders, with the goal of cutting CO2 emissions by more than 40% compared to a regular flight. The commercial flight on an Airbus A319 aircraft from Toronto, Canada to Mexico City combined the use of modern state-of-the-art aircraft, powered by sustainable alternative fuels, guided by streamlined air traffic management procedures, and facilitated through best practice operations to underpin the industry's four-pillar strategy to tackle carbon emissions. The Air Canada flight, AC-991, was the second leg out of a series of four biofuel flights, taking the Secretary General of the International Civil Aviation Organization, the ICAO, Mr. Raymond Benjamin, to Rio de Janeiro for the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development. Alaska Army National Guard personnel on a routine mission have reported what may be debris from a military aircraft accident, and officials say the wreckage may be of a vintage aircraft. The crew was flying a UH-60 Blackhawk on a training mission in an area near the Kinnick Glacier when they made the discovery on Friday. Television station KTUU reports that they made a quick inspection of the site from the helicopter before returning to base. The FAA has placed a TFR over the site while it is being investigated. Alaskan Command Public Affairs Director Captain Tanya Bryan said that the wreckage did not appear to be of a modern aircraft and that it was not recent. There was also material which could be human remains at the site. The U.S. Joint POW-MIA Accounting Command is now involved in the investigation. No further details are being released pending the possible notification of next of kin. When AeroNews continues, honoring Mercury astronaut Scott Carpenter. Passengers may soon find the going a bit easier at Idaho Falls Regional. And an emergency landing with style.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, June 19th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Fundraising has begun for what is being called the Scott Carpenter Project. Commander Scott Carpenter, United States Navy retired, was the second American to orbit the Earth as part of the Mercury space program. Now, the Spirit of Flight Air Museum in Erie, Colorado, wants to expand its collection by adding a new space exhibit. The museum hopes to honor Carpenter with a life-size bronze sculpture, along with a full-size reproduction of his capsule, the Aurora 7. Carpenter attended Boulder, Colorado High School, as well as the University of Colorado, where he studied aeronautical engineering. Today, a park, swimming pool, and a school are named in his honor in the Boulder area. This past May 24th marked the 50th anniversary of his Mercury spaceflight. While Carpenter was not in space long enough for fatigue to become an issue, times have changed. Today, during human space missions, the crew and ground personnel must function under high stress and workload, often with disrupted sleep patterns. Astronauts sometimes suffer from sleep deprivation during long spaceflight missions, which could potentially have an adverse effect on performance. Alion Science and Technology, an employee-owned engineering R&D, IT, and operational solutions company, has been awarded a $1.2 million contract from NASA to develop a model-based software tool to predict the effects of astronaut fatigue on performance, particularly during workload transitions. Under the three-year Space Performance Research Integration Tool Project, Alion will develop human performance models to predict astronaut performance in various automation failure situations. Although long-duration space flights include highly automated systems, astronauts still need to remain alert, particularly during a potential automation failure situation. In such a worst-case scenario, fatigue, complacency due to over-reliance on automation, and sudden workload transitions could create a challenging spaceflight mission. The contract runs until March 31, 2015. The FAA has awarded a $1,041,162 grant to Idaho Falls Regional Airport through the AIP program. The city was notified in a letter from the FAA just last week. The monies are earmarked for the acquisition of snow removal equipment, apron construction, and expansion of the terminal building and other airport improvements. In a news release published in the Idaho State Journal, expansion of the terminal building will make it easier for passengers to move through the gate holding area, and the expanded apron will allow for additional aircraft parking. The grant will also allow older snow removal equipment to be replaced. Idaho Falls Mayor Jared Furriman called the grant a tremendous boost for the Eastern Idaho Regional Airport. According to the city website, Idaho Falls Regional Airport is a regional air transportation center serving eastern Idaho, southern Montana, and western Wyoming. It is served by three airlines with regular passenger service to several cities in the western United States. For some time now, its fleet of unmanned drone aircraft has given the U.S. military something of a competitive advantage over its enemies, but the playing field is leveling. At a meeting Wednesday with military and defense officials, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez said that the country has manufactured its first UAV in partnership with Iran, Russia, and China. Chavez said that he expects the aircraft to be made available soon on the international market. A Venezuelan official said that the parts for the UAV are manufactured in that country and assembled by engineers who had been trained in Iran. It reportedly measures about 13 feet long with a 10-foot wingspan. Venezuela claims that it can transmit photos and videos in real time and is being modified for night operations. While not discounting the report out of hand, the U.S. State Department says that Chavez and the Iranians, quote, make lots of extravagant claims, end quote. A nearly 90-year-old pilot who flew P-47 Thunderbolts and P-51 Mustangs during World War II made a perfect dead-stick landing in a flight design CTLS-LSA Friday after experiencing an engine problem with the airplane. Neither 89-year-old pilot Colonel Victor Hernandez or his passenger, identified as Tim Hayes, were injured in the incident. Hernandez and Hayes had taken off from Sebring, Florida, and had made a precautionary landing in Melbourne after they experienced engine problems. They inspected the airplane and took off again en route to Rockledge Air Park, Florida, according to a report in Florida Today. Hernandez said he thinks the engine was having a problem with its fuel system. He said he noticed the engine struggling and then it stopped. Hernandez located Stadium Parkway in Vieira, Florida, and decided it was his best option for an emergency landing. Well, he parked the airplane in front of a reflecting pool across from the Brevard County Government Complex and calmly called authorities. Now that's an emergency landing with style. With that, it's time for us to pull full flaps, drop the gear, and land this AeroCast. There's never a reflecting pool when you need one, though. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks, as always, for listening. You're now cleared for departure.